Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Guyana, A Journey Through Time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 9, World War and Its Aftermath. The outbreak of World War II in 1939 shook the world, sending ripples across even the distant colony of British Guyana. Though far from the battlefields of Europe and Asia, the war marked a turning point in the colony's history. It exposed the vulnerabilities of colonial rule, disrupted the economy, and awakened a new sense of political consciousness among the people of Guyana. In the war's aftermath, these changes set the stage for the final push toward independence. Guyana and the war effort. As a British colony, Guyana was drawn into the global war effort. Its strategic location in South America made it a valuable asset, and its natural resources, particularly bauxite, used in the production of aircraft aluminum, became critical to the Allied war machine. The colony's bauxite mines in Linden, then known as Mackenzie, became a hive of activity, with workers toiling long hours to meet growing demands. This sudden increase in production brought some economic benefits to the region, but also deepened existing inequalities. The wealth generated by the mines flowed outward to British and American corporations, leaving local workers with low wages and poor working conditions. Men from Guyana also served in the British armed forces, fighting in distant lands for a crown that often treated them as second-class citizens. For those who returned, the contrast between their sacrifices and the continued injustices of colonial rule fueled a growing dissatisfaction with the status quo. The economic strains of war. The war disrupted global trade, leaving British Guyana grappling with shortages of essential goods. Imported items like flour, sugar, and kerosene became scarce, driving up prices and straining the already fragile economy. The working class bore the brunt of this hardship, their struggles magnified by stagnant wages and poor living conditions. The colonial government imposed rationing to manage shortages, but these measures often favored the wealthy and elite. For the majority of Guyanese, the war years were marked by hunger, frustration, and an increasing awareness of the inequities inherent in the colonial system. A growing political awareness. The hardships of war brought people together in shared struggle, sparking a new wave of political awareness. Labor unions, which had been gaining strength since the 1920s, became even more vocal during the war. Strikes and protests erupted across the colony as workers demanded better pay and conditions. The war also exposed the fragility of British colonial power. As Britain struggled to defend its empire, its grip on distant colonies like Guyana began to weaken. This shift emboldened local leaders, who saw an opportunity to demand greater autonomy. The global fight against fascism also raised uncomfortable questions about colonialism. How could Britain champion democracy and freedom abroad while denying those very rights to its colonies? These contradictions did not go unnoticed by the people of Guyana, who began to envision a future free from imperial rule. The American presence. During the war, the United States established a military presence in British Guyana under the Lend-Lease Agreement with Britain. The construction of air bases at Atkinson Field, now Chetty Jugan International Airport, and Waller Field brought an influx of American soldiers and engineers. The American presence was a double-edged sword. On one hand, it injected new money into the local economy and introduced modern infrastructure. On the other, it highlighted the stark inequalities of colonial society. American troops were often better housed and fed than the local population, and their interactions with Guyanese workers frequently reflected the racial prejudices of the era. Despite these challenges, the exposure to American ideas about freedom and democracy further fueled nationalist sentiments. For many Guyanese, the war years were a time of both hardship and hope, a period when the dream of self-determination began to take root. The aftermath of war. When the war ended in 1945, British Guyana was left grappling with the social and economic consequences. Returning soldiers found few opportunities awaiting them, and the promises of post-war prosperity often rang hollow. The plantation economy, still dominated by sugar, continued to exploit workers, while the bauxite industry remained firmly under foreign control. Yet, the war had also planted the seeds of change. The sacrifices and struggles of the war years had united people across ethnic and class lines, fostering a sense of shared identity and purpose. The labor movement, bolstered by its wartime activism, became a powerful force for change. The rise of political parties. The post-war years saw the emergence of Guyana's first major political parties, reflecting the growing demand for self-governance. In 1950, the People's Progressive Party, PPP, was founded by Chetty Jugan, Forbes Burnham, and Janet Jugan, uniting workers, intellectuals, and activists from across the colony. The PPP's platform called for universal suffrage, improved labor rights, and independence from Britain. The party's formation was a watershed moment in Guyana's history. It represented a shift from isolated struggles for workers' rights to a broader movement for national liberation. Despite the ethnic tensions that would later divide the party, its early years were marked by a spirit of unity and hope. Women in the post-war era. The war years also marked a turning point for women in Guyana. With many men serving abroad or working in war-related industries, women stepped into new roles, taking on jobs in factories, offices, and fields. This shift, though temporary, challenged traditional gender norms and laid the groundwork for future struggles for women's rights. Women also became more active in politics and social movements. Figures like Janet Jugan emerged as leaders, advocating for gender equality and workers' rights alongside the broader nationalist cause. The cultural awakening. The post-war years saw a cultural awakening in Guyana as artists, writers, and musicians began to explore themes of identity, resistance, and freedom. Calypso music, with its sharp political commentary, gained popularity, while Indo-Guyanese cultural festivals like Diwali and Holi became more prominent in public life. Literature flourished, with poets and novelists drawing inspiration from Guyana's landscapes and history. These cultural expressions reflected the growing confidence of a people ready to claim their place on the world stage. Foreshadowing independence. By the late 1940s, British Guyana was a colony in transition. The war had exposed the injustices of colonial rule and awakened a new sense of agency among its people. The rise of political parties, the growth of labor unions, and the cultural renaissance all pointed toward a future where the people of Guyana would demand control over their own destiny. The path to independence would not be easy. The colonial government, determined to maintain its grip on the colony, would resist these efforts at every turn. But the people of Guyana, strengthened by their shared struggles and inspired by global movements for freedom, were ready to fight for their place in the world. Chapter 10. The struggle for independence. The echoes of the post-war world reverberated loudly in British Guyana, a colony caught between the grip of colonial rule and the rising tide of self-determination. The people of Guyana, united by shared struggles and emboldened by global movements for freedom, were ready to claim their independence. Yet, the road to nationhood was fraught with challenges. Internal divisions, external interference, and the remnants of a system designed to suppress dissent. The first steps, political awakening. In 1950, the founding of the People's Progressive Party, PPP, marked a turning point in the struggle for independence. Led by Chetty Jugan, Forbes Burnham, and Janet Jugan, the PPP emerged as a broad coalition of workers, intellectuals, and activists committed to dismantling colonial rule. The party's platform called for universal suffrage, labor rights, and an end to racial and economic inequality. The PPP's message resonated across ethnic and class lines, drawing support from Afro-Guyanese workers, Indo-Guyanese laborers, and the middle class. Its leaders envisioned a united Guyana, where the struggles of the past would give way to a brighter, more equitable future. Universal suffrage and the first elections. One of the PPP's earliest victories came in 1953 when British Guyana held its first general elections under universal suffrage. For the first time, the voices of ordinary Guyanese, many of whom had been excluded from political participation for decades, were heard at the ballot box. The PPP won a landslide victory, securing 18 of the 24 seats in the Legislative Council. This victory was a watershed moment. It demonstrated the power of a united populace and signaled that the colonial government's hold on the colony was weakening. Yet, it also set the stage for a new phase of struggle, as Britain sought to undermine the very movement it had allowed to flourish. British intervention. The PPP's progressive agenda and calls for independence alarmed the colonial authorities. The party's emphasis on labor rights and its alignment with socialist principles coincided with the global tensions of the Cold War. To Britain, the PPP's rise represented a potential threat, not only to colonial rule in Guyana, but also to Western influence in the Caribbean. In October 1953, just months after the PPP's electoral victory, the British government suspended the colony's constitution and sent troops to Guyana, citing fears of communist influence. The party's leaders were removed from office, and its activities were heavily restricted. This intervention, known as the 1953 suspension crisis, marked a devastating blow to the independence movement. A nation divided. The suspension of the constitution deepened existing divisions within the independence movement. The ideological differences between Chetty Jugan and Forbes Burnham, once allies in the PPP, began to widen. Jugan's socialist leanings and Burnham's more nationalist approach reflected broader ethnic and political divides within the colony. By 1955, these tensions culminated in a split within the PPP. Burnham broke away to form the People's National Congress, PNC, a rival party that drew significant support from the Afro-Guyanese community. Meanwhile, the PPP, under Jugan's leadership, retained its stronghold among the Indo-Guyanese. This division created a fractured political landscape, where ethnic loyalties often overshadowed the shared goal of independence. The colonial government exploited these divisions, fostering mistrust and competition between the two major parties to weaken the nationalist movement. The role of the United States. As the Cold War intensified, Guyana became a pawn in the geopolitical struggle between the United States and the Soviet Union. The U.S. government, wary of Jugan's socialist ideology, actively supported efforts to undermine the PPP. Through covert operations and diplomatic pressure, the CIA worked to influence elections and bolster Burnham's PNC as a counterbalance to Jugan's influence. This interference further complicated the struggle for independence, as external forces manipulated Guyana's internal politics for their own strategic interests. For the people of Guyana, the dream of self-determination was increasingly overshadowed by the realities of Cold War politics. The push for independence. Despite these challenges, the momentum for independence continued to build throughout the 1960s. Protests, strikes, and political campaigns kept the demand for self-governance at the forefront of public discourse. Trade unions, civil society organizations, and cultural groups played a critical role in mobilizing support for the nationalist cause. In 1961, the PPP won the general elections, with Chetty Jugan becoming the colony's first premier. This victory brought renewed hope for independence, but it also intensified political and ethnic tensions. Violent clashes between Afro-Guyanese and Indo-Guyanese communities erupted in several parts of the colony, leaving deep scars on the social fabric. By 1964, the colonial government, under pressure from both local and international forces, agreed to initiate the process of granting independence. The transition, however, was marred by continued political unrest and widespread mistrust. Independence achieved. On May 26, 1966, British Guyana officially became the independent nation of Guyana. The Union Jack was lowered, and the new Guyanese flag, green, gold, red, black, and white, was raised in its place. The moment was historic, a culmination of decades of struggle and sacrifice. Yet, the challenges of nationhood loomed large. Forbes Burnham, who had become Guyana's first prime minister, called for unity and reconciliation. But the divisions that had marked the independence movement persisted, shaping the early years of the new nation. Guyana entered its post-colonial era with great promise, but also with the weight of its colonial past. The legacy of the struggle. The struggle for independence was not just a political battle. It was a testament to the resilience and determination of the Guyanese people. It united workers, intellectuals, and leaders across ethnic and class lines, even as it exposed the fault lines of division. It was a story of triumph and sacrifice, of external interference and internal resilience. As Guyana took its place among the world's nations, the lessons of the independence movement remained deeply etched in its collective memory. The journey toward self-determination had been long and arduous, but it had also forged a nation that was as diverse and dynamic as its people. Chapter 11, Building a Nation. The moment the flag of Guyana rose for the first time on May 26, 1966, a new chapter in the country's history began. Independence brought with it both immense promise and profound challenges. The dream of self-governance had been realized, but the realities of building a nation, one still grappling with the legacies of colonialism, deep ethnic divisions, and economic dependency, were daunting. Guyana's first years as a sovereign state were marked by efforts to define its identity, establish political stability, and foster economic development. Yet these years were also characterized by political conflict, social unrest, and the struggles of a young nation finding its footing. Forbes Burnham, the first leader. Forbes Burnham, as Guyana's first prime minister, stepped into the role of nation builder with a vision of self-reliance and unity. Burnham, a charismatic and controversial figure, promised to lead Guyana into a new era of prosperity and equality. Under his leadership, the government pursued policies aimed at reducing dependency on foreign powers and fostering national pride. Burnham's administration emphasized education, agriculture, and industrial development as pillars of the new Guyanese economy. Programs were launched to encourage local production, and slogans like feed, clothe, and house the nation became rallying cries for self-sufficiency. The government sought to diversify the economy beyond sugar and bauxite, exploring opportunities in rice cultivation, forestry, and manufacturing. However, Burnham's leadership style, often described as authoritarian, alienated many. His consolidation of power, use of state resources to reward loyalists, and suppression of dissent sowed seeds of discontent, particularly among opposition groups and marginalized communities. Ethnic tensions and political struggles. The divisions between Afro-Guyanese and Indo-Guyanese communities, exacerbated during the colonial era, remained a significant challenge in post-independence Guyana. These tensions were mirrored in the political rivalry between Burnham's People's National Congress, PNC, which drew its base largely from the Afro-Guyanese population, and Chetty Jugan's People's Progressive Party, PPP, which had strong support among Indo-Guyanese. Political campaigns often became battlegrounds for ethnic loyalties, undermining efforts to build a unified national identity. Elections were marred by allegations of rigging, voter intimidation, and violence. The government's favoritism toward certain communities deepened divisions, creating a sense of disenfranchisement among many Guyanese. Despite these challenges, grassroots organizations and community leaders worked tirelessly to promote dialogue and foster understanding. Cultural exchanges, interfaith initiatives, and joint economic ventures offered glimpses of the unity that many hoped would define the new nation. The economy, a delicate balance. Economically, Guyana faced significant hurdles as it transitioned from a colonial economy to an independent one. The sugar and bauxite industries, long the backbone of the economy, remained under foreign control, limiting the government's ability to direct profits toward national development. Burnham's government sought to assert greater control over these industries through nationalization. In 1971, the government took over the Demerara Bauxite Company, renaming it Guyana Bauxite Company, GYBA. Similarly, major sugar estates were nationalized in 1976. These moves were hailed by some as bold steps toward economic independence, but they also strained relations with foreign investors and trading partners. The nationalization policies faced mixed results. While they gave the government greater control over the economy, inefficiency, corruption, and mismanagement hampered growth. By the late 1970s, Guyana was grappling with mounting debt, inflation, and a declining standard of living. The non-aligned movement. On the international stage, Guyana adopted a policy of non-alignment, seeking to navigate the complexities of the Cold War without becoming beholden to either the United States or the Soviet Union. Burnham positioned Guyana as a leader among developing nations, advocating for South-South cooperation and solidarity. Guyana became an active member of the Non-Aligned Movement, NAM, hosting conferences and championing issues such as decolonization, racial equality, and economic justice. The country's foreign policy reflected its desire to carve out an independent role on the global stage while building alliances with nations across Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean. Education and culture, shaping a national identity. Education was a cornerstone of Burnham's vision for Guyana. The government invested heavily in building schools, training teachers, and expanding access to education. The University of Guyana, established in 1963, became a symbol of national pride and intellectual development. Cultural policies emphasized the promotion of Guyanese identity and heritage. National holidays such as Mashramani, Republic Day, were introduced to celebrate independence and foster unity. The government supported the arts, music, and literature, encouraging artists to reflect the experiences and aspirations of a young nation. Yet, these efforts were often overshadowed by the realities of political and economic instability. For many Guyanese, the promise of independence remained unfulfilled as poverty, inequality, and limited opportunities persisted. Social struggles. The 1970s and 1980s were marked by significant social challenges. Workers' strikes, protests against government corruption, and shortages of basic goods fueled public discontent. The exodus of skilled workers, many of whom migrated to North America and the United Kingdom, further strained the nation's capacity for development. Women played a crucial role in these struggles, both as activists and as pillars of their communities. While progress was slow, efforts to improve gender equality gained momentum, with women taking on leadership roles in politics, education, and grassroots movements. Hope amidst challenges. Despite the difficulties of the early post-independence years, Guyana was not without hope. The resilience of its people, the richness of its culture, and the determination of its leaders to forge a better future kept the dream of progress alive. Villages and towns buzzed with activity as communities worked together to build schools, churches, and businesses. The voices of calypso singers, poets, and storytellers echoed across the land, reminding Guyanese of their shared struggles and triumphs. The green, gold, and red of the national flag became a symbol of unity and pride, even as the country grappled with the realities of self-governance. Foreshadowing the future. The first years of independence laid the foundation for Guyana's journey as a nation. While progress was uneven and challenges remained, the seeds of self-reliance, resilience, and national pride had been planted. The next chapters of Guyana's history would see continued struggles for democracy, economic stability, and social justice, as the country sought to fulfill the promise of independence. Chapter 12, Environmental Wealth. Nestled between the Atlantic Ocean and the vast Amazon rainforest, Guyana is a land of remarkable natural beauty and environmental wealth. Its rainforests, rivers, savannas, and wetlands teem with life, making the country one of the most biodiverse places on the planet. Yet, as Guyana progressed through the latter half of the 20th century, its natural resources became both a source of pride and a point of contention. Balancing the need for economic development with the preservation of its rich ecosystems posed one of the most significant challenges for the young nation. The land and its bounty. Guyana's geography is defined by its three distinct regions. The coastal plain, the narrow strip of fertile land along the Atlantic coast, where the majority of the population lives and agriculture flourishes. The forested interior, dense rainforests that cover over 80% of the country, harboring countless species of plants and animals. The Rupununi savannas, expansive grasslands in the south, home to indigenous communities, unique ecosystems, and opportunities for cattle ranching. These diverse landscapes have long sustained the people of Guyana. The indigenous peoples, in particular, possess an intimate understanding of the land, using its resources sustainably for food, medicine, and shelter. Cassava, fishing, and hunting have been staples of their subsistence for centuries, while spiritual connections to the rivers and forests define their worldview. Natural resources, blessing and burden. Guyana's rainforests are among its greatest treasures. Often referred to as the lungs of the earth, these forests absorb carbon dioxide and release oxygen, playing a vital role in combating climate change. They are also a source of valuable hardwoods, medicinal plants, and minerals. The rivers of Guyana, including the mighty Essequibo, Demerara, and Berbice, are lifelines for both people and wildlife. They provide freshwater, transportation, and energy potential through hydropower. Meanwhile, the country's rich deposits of gold, diamonds, and bauxite have long been the backbone of its economy. However, the exploitation of these resources has come at a cost. Logging, mining, and agriculture have led to deforestation and pollution, threatening the ecosystems that sustain life. The challenge for Guyana has been finding ways to harness its natural wealth without destroying the very environment that makes it unique. Indigenous stewardship. For centuries, Guyana's indigenous peoples have been the guardians of its environment. The Arawaks, Caribs, Wareo, and other communities have lived in harmony with the land, their traditions rooted in sustainable practices. They view the forest not as a resource to be exploited, but as a sacred space that provides for their needs while demanding respect in return. In the post-independence era, these communities began to advocate for land rights and recognition of their role as environmental stewards. The Amerindian Act of 2006 granted legal recognition to many indigenous villages, empowering them to manage their territories and resist unsustainable development projects. Indigenous knowledge has also gained recognition on the global stage. Traditional practices, such as rotational farming and herbal medicine, have been increasingly valued for their contributions to sustainable development and biodiversity conservation. The rise of the mining industry. Mining has been both a boon and a challenge for Guyana. The discovery of gold and diamonds in the interior attracted investment and created jobs, but it also brought environmental degradation and social upheaval. Rivers once pristine became polluted with mercury and sediment from mining operations, affecting both wildlife and communities downstream. Small-scale, or artisanal, mining, often conducted by individuals or small groups, became particularly problematic. While it provided livelihoods for thousands, its unregulated nature led to widespread deforestation and water contamination. The government introduced measures to regulate mining, including the establishment of the Guyana Geology and Mines Commission, GGMC. However, enforcement has often been inconsistent, and balancing economic benefits with environmental protection remains a contentious issue. Hydropower and energy potential. Guyana's rivers have long been seen as a potential source of renewable energy. In the 1970s, the government proposed the construction of hydropower dams to reduce dependence on imported fossil fuels. While these projects promised clean energy and economic benefits, they also raised concerns about their impact on indigenous communities and fragile ecosystems. The proposed Amala Falls hydropower project, for example, became a subject of intense debate. Supporters argued that it would provide affordable, sustainable energy, while critics highlighted the risks of deforestation, displacement, and financial mismanagement. The project has been delayed multiple times, reflecting the complexities of balancing development with environmental preservation. Ecotourism, a sustainable alternative. In recent decades, Guyana has embraced ecotourism as a way to showcase its natural beauty while promoting conservation. The country's untouched rainforests, vibrant wildlife, and cultural heritage have attracted travelers from around the world. Ecotourism initiatives, such as those in the Iwokrama Rainforest and the Kanuku Mountains, emphasize community involvement and sustainability. Visitors are invited to explore the country's natural wonders through guided tours, wildlife observation, and cultural exchanges with indigenous communities. These efforts have not only generated income for local communities, but also raised awareness about the importance of preserving Guyana's unique ecosystems. By positioning itself as a global leader in ecotourism, Guyana has demonstrated that economic growth and environmental stewardship can go hand in hand. Climate change and conservation. As a low-lying country with vast rainforests, Guyana faces both opportunities and risks in the context of climate change. Rising sea levels threaten the coastal plain, where the majority of the population lives, while deforestation contributes to global warming. In 2009, Guyana launched the Low Carbon Development Strategy, LCDS, an ambitious plan to combat climate change while promoting economic growth. Through partnerships with international organizations and countries like Norway, Guyana secured funding to protect its rainforests in exchange for reducing carbon emissions. The LCDS also aimed to diversify the economy by investing in renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and ecotourism. While these initiatives have been praised for their vision, they have also faced criticism for slow implementation and inadequate consultation with local communities. A legacy of stewardship. Guyana's environmental wealth is both a blessing and a responsibility. Its rainforests, rivers, and wildlife are not only national treasures, but also vital resources for the planet. As the country continues to navigate the complexities of development and conservation, it carries with it a legacy of stewardship rooted in the traditions of its people. For the people of Guyana, the challenge is clear: to build a prosperous future without sacrificing the natural beauty and biodiversity that define their home. It is a challenge that will require innovation, collaboration, and a deep respect for the land that has sustained them for generations.